This is Sustainable East End, a monthly series about how land use, water resources, energy, transportation, and food impact the environment of the Twin Forks of Long Island. With co-producer Tony Ernst, I'm Francesca Rhiannon.
We've all seen that UN report of, you know, the urgency of needing to act. I don't know of anything more urgent than reading a headline that says Code Red for Humanity. So looking at the budget reconciliation bill, when we look at the climate provisions that we need to fight for and make sure stay in this reconciliation bill, you know, it's everything from school infrastructure. You know, we're looking at getting a carbon-free and healthy schools campaign in this city to look at getting solar on schools. And we're looking at grid upgrades, energy efficiency, and, you know, clean transportation infrastructure. And it's really all about expanding for clean energy and curbing carbon emissions from all of the 100 companies that, you know, have the most carbon emissions to our everyday lives, and what we can all do together in this society to create a clean energy economy.
That's the voice of today's guest, Mariah Dignan, organizer for Climate Jobs New York. Climate Jobs New York is a coalition of labor unions representing some 2.6 million working men and women in New York. We spoke to Mariah this week as Congress considers billions on infrastructure projects. What will the two bills now wending a precarious way through Congress mean for Long Island if they pass? How many jobs could they create? What does a just transition to a clean energy economy mean? And what could wind energy development in New York waters mean for our region in terms of jobs, the environment, and the climate crisis? Let's listen to our conversation with Mariah Dignan as we discussed all this and more. Mariah Dignan, welcome to Sustainable East End.
Thank you, Francesca. Thanks for having me.
So I know I've spoken to you before for WPKN. That was quite a while ago. Now, we're having you on the show to talk about infrastructure, seems to be the buzzword of the day. And I wonder if you could talk about the impact of the infrastructure bills that are proposed in Congress. One is a bipartisan one. The other one is going to be done on a budget reconciliation motion measure. What would be the impact of these bills on jobs on Long Island?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Francesca. And, you know, just for our viewers, I wanted to say that Climate Jobs New York, we are a growing coalition of labor unions. We represent 2.6 million working New Yorkers, all united to fight to combat climate change and reverse inequalities in our communities. So we're educating our fellow workers, we're building alliances, and advocating for policy solutions to show that we really don't need to choose between a healthy planet and good jobs. We can and must have both. So yes, it's Infrastructure Week. We've been waiting for this, what feels like for years, but it's a really exciting development. And let's get into it and how that affects our local economy here in New York. It's a $1 trillion investment, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. It'll be $550 billion in new spending over 5 years. And what's truly incredible is that there were 19 GOP senators joining the Democrats following months of negotiations. And it's surely needed. The American Society of Civil Engineers gave New York a C-minus grade on its infrastructure report card recently. So we need vast improvement in our infrastructure. And, you know, driving around Long Island, we all know and complain about our potholes. So there are $110 billion set aside for roads and bridges. So for New York, what does that look like? Based on, you know, the formula funding, we're expected to receive $11.6 billion for federal highway apportioned programs and $1.9 billion with a B for bridge replacement and repairs under the bipartisan infrastructure bill over the next 5 years. There is incredible investments in our electric vehicle charging infrastructure. We're expected in New York to receive approximately $175 million over the next 5 years to support the expansion of our charging network in the state. And what's really great, especially when we look at climate, is the prioritization of looking at building a resilient energy infrastructure, all the way from security to making sure that we're addressing susceptible areas and communities that are affected by climate change the most. So we're looking at, you know, around receiving $34 million to protect against wildfires and $28 million to protect against cyber attacks. And it only gets really better from there. We have a huge drinking water issue here on Long Island, right? And really that depends on what community you live in too. But we're expected to receive funding to address water infrastructure, like replacing lead pipes and getting rid of PFAS in our water. And what I'm really excited about too is looking at grid reliability and resilience. Looking at critical energy technologies, looking at energy efficiency, and we're slated to get, you know, overall in the bill is $73 billion for our power and grid transmission and distribution upgrades. But this bill really prioritizes the need to address our infrastructure, but also we need to address climate change too. And all the while in this bill, that includes prevailing wage requirements for these federal investments. So we're going to do it with good union jobs.
Well, it's interesting because you're referring to the bipartisan bill. And, you know, it's great and actually a little surprising to hear of the some of the climate-directed funding in that, because when you look at the two bills, the $3.5 trillion, which the is not expected to get any Republican support and is going to have to pass with Democratic-only votes. You look at a comparison of the $3.5 trillion bill and or the, as you know, the original bill as proposed and the bipartisan bill, you see that almost all the climate-directed funds have been taken out of the bipartisan bill. So I wonder if you could talk now about the needs, because it's nice to have electric vehicle charging stations. I have an EV and I'm looking forward to that, but we need so much more on climate. So talk about the second bill now and how, you know, and what it has in it for climate and for jobs.
Couldn't agree more. You know, to truly build back better, we need to do that at the scale that climate science is demanding. And, you know, recently, we've all seen that UN report of, you know, the urgency of needing to act. I don't know of anything more urgent than reading a headline that says Code Red for Humanity. So looking at the budget reconciliation bill, you know, this is really an all of above the board, expanding family paid leave, looking at making childcare more accessible, universal pre-K, lowering, you know, the costs for Medicare. And this is all very intersectional. And when we look at the climate provisions that we need to fight for and make sure stay in this reconciliation bill, you know, it's everything from school infrastructure. You know, we're looking at getting a carbon-free and healthy schools campaign in this city to look at getting solar on schools. And we're looking at grid upgrades, energy efficiency, and, you know, clean transportation infrastructure. And it's really all about expanding for clean energy and curbing carbon emissions from, you know, all of the 100 companies that, you know, have the most carbon emissions to our everyday lives and what we can all do together in this society to create a clean energy economy. So looking at clean energy tax credits, looking at, you know, creating a clean energy standard, and increasing the funding for renewable energy, clean energy programs. It's really crucial that we show, you know, we walk the talk. We say that we need to build back better. Okay. Investing in renewables, investing in our workers, investing in our communities to create climate resilient communities. That's how we truly build back better.
Yes. And Mariah Dignan, also, I wonder if you could explain what that clean energy standard would mean. What is it? What would it mean for us? And what would it mean for jobs?
Yeah. So the clean energy standard would basically, you know, depending on the state that you live in, you know, we have a clean energy standard of trying to meet 70% of renewable electricity by 2030 and looking at carbon-free emissions by 2050. So establishing, you know, those sorts of standards to keep everyone accountable in looking at in the next, you know, decade, the next two decades, to be sure that we're doing what it takes to reduce our carbon emissions, and all the while creating thousands of jobs. And what we're fighting for climate jobs, and what we've, you know, secured and done a great job in New York, is to make sure that those are good union jobs. And why are union jobs important? It's all about respecting and showing dignity to workers again. And it's important to pay everyone a fair wage, to pay a living wage, to provide, you know, healthcare benefits, to provide a pension so people don't have to worry about, you know, how am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I also going to send my kids to school or provide them opportunities to go into a union apprenticeship program? How can we expand accessibility to family sustaining wages and jobs? And that's really a path of what this budget reconciliation bill could do, and what the infrastructure bill has really started for us, is putting us on that path to achieving a clean energy economy that truly works for everyone.
Well, that's great, you know, because recently I've seen some articles saying, oh, they talk about, you know, Biden talks about clean jobs being good jobs, but, you know, many of them could be minimum wage. You're saying these bills would actually ensure that those jobs were at the prevailing union wage.
So that's what the infrastructure bill, that made it into the infrastructure bill, was that, you know, these federal investments, if, you know, the government clearly has a proprietary interest in creating jobs and with these projects, that should include. And in this bill, the infrastructure bill that was just passed, it does include prevailing wage requirements. And we fight really hard to make that happen. And when we're looking at clean energy, we need to be sure that, you know, the good union jobs that exist right now in our energy infrastructure, that we fight for similar provisions and protections for workers while we're creating these new opportunities and these new sectors, like in offshore wind, like possibly, you know, in battery storage, which is both, you know, going to be huge parts of Long Island's energy infrastructure needs in the very near future. So making sure that we're getting those protections and standards in the new emerging clean energy technologies, that's really the next fight ahead for us. And we're working hard with our members. We're educating our members on climate change and what we need to do to come together as a labor movement and be good partners as we create this brand new economy. I say it a lot, but it truly is a once in a generational opportunity to put us on a path to creating an economy that works for everyone. And it all really starts now.
You're listening to Sustainable East End on WPKN Radio. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. We're talking with Mariah Dignan, organizer for Climate Jobs New York, and we're talking about the two infrastructure bills that are wending their way through Congress now. So talk a little bit about the labor unions. Are you finding that there is general support, and have you run into areas of opposition?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our affiliates in Climate Jobs New York, we are extremely focused on, you know, creating these sorts of opportunities to be sure that the work being done in building energy efficiency, in EV build out, offshore wind. Again, I say offshore wind a lot. That's my big focus here out on Long Island. It's going to be a big deal for us, but making sure that those are all good union jobs. And yeah, there is a focus on making sure that there is this thing called a just transition. And, you know, historically, that may have not gone over the way that some folks have thought of it. But we need to be methodical and thoughtful in what this transition to clean energy looks like. And our members get that. They see the writing on the wall. They see it firsthand from, you know, Superstorm Sandy, from the tropical storms, the amount of thunderstorms with high winds and hail that we have seen this summer. Everyone here is really seeing firsthand the increased influence of climate change in our communities. So our members are ready to get to work. They're eager. And I can't wait to see it happen and to continue to fight to make it happen one day when I'm seeing those wind turbines, you know, far off of our shores and getting a nice tour of them, hopefully one day. I'm really excited. And that's what keeps my motivation going. That's what keeps our union members' motivation going, is that we have a chance here to really do it right. So let's fight for our planet and fight for good jobs.
Well, I want to come back to those wind farms. But first, you mentioned a just transition. Now, people talk a lot about climate justice, but that's not exactly the same thing. Talk about what a just transition would mean on Long Island for workers right here.
Yeah, so I think that's something that we need to talk to our members about and really talk to community members about, of what they're looking for in a just transition. And making sure that rank and file voices are heard in, you know, negotiating project labor agreements, you know, negotiating contracts with, you know, these new clean energy technology companies, and making sure that pensions are protected, that when we have to, you know, scale a little bit to our apprenticeship programs to meet, you know, different sorts of safety standards with offshore wind, which we're still, you know, figuring out with the GWO, Global Wind Organization standards, of making sure all of that is thought of in advance, and that once these job opportunities are really here and concrete, we have the workforce ready to get to work. And, you know, it's looking at that and being really thoughtful about how we make sure that we're fighting for our members, fighting for what, you know, they need in this transition to a clean energy economy.
Doesn't a just transition refer to transitioning workers who have been in fossil fuel industries to clean energy, the clean energy industry?
Yeah, and it could also include people who have been displaced from work. You know, it's really all about making sure that our workforce is equipped to handle the emerging technologies, and making sure that we know the training standards and we know what we need to do to get people ready to make that transition. So it is complicated, and it's going to take real thoughtfulness to make sure it happens right. But that's what, you know, Climate Jobs is really all about, is listening to our membership and trying to find solutions to the climate crisis while also ensuring that, you know, we're protecting our members and fighting for strong labor standards. And we're really excited.
So talking about wind, you recently sent out a call to action about making comments in favor of the wind farm development in the New York Bight. Tell us what the New York Bight is, what is being proposed, and I know by the time this airs, the time for comment will be passed, but talk about who will be holding those hearings and maybe if you know, people should be alert to other hearings to be held.
Absolutely. So the New York Bight is an area of waters off the coast of New Jersey and off of, you know, our coast on Long Island. And it's a proposed sale notice for a lease auction to give more opportunity for actual space in federal waters to have more offshore wind development. So in this particular sale notice, we're looking at 8 different lease areas to hopefully have a nice auction by the end of this year. And we're really, we rang the alarm bells for union members and for community members. I know my sister submitted comments, my best friend submitted comments, just to show how Long Islanders are eager to have the opportunity to have good union jobs in offshore wind. And the sooner we can get that auction process going on the federal level, this is with the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, which is under the Department of Interior, the sooner that we get this auction going, you know, the more concrete it makes the nascent U.S. offshore wind industry. And if we can really show we have lofty nation-leading goals here in New York of 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind by 2035, the more that we can show industry, our workforce, our communities, that this is real, this is a concrete opportunity, you know, the better it's going to be for all of us. So it was a really great initiative to get union members to comment on these New York Bight, this proposed lease sale. But, you know, there hopefully will be more of these commenting opportunities. And, you know, I sent out action alerts as you received it to make sure that we're spreading this message far and wide. And if people have questions or, you know, there are different stakeholder engagement ideas, we want to be as collaborative and, you know, inclusive as possible when we're looking at clean energy development and, you know, spreading the message far and wide when it comes to good public comment period opportunities, I think is a great start to it. And we're definitely going to look to doing more fun community events. Like we recently had a What's Brewing Offshore event in Port Jefferson, you know, supporting local business at a local brewery. And, you know, presenting general information about New York's offshore wind projects and the job opportunities that come with them in a fun atmosphere, and being more creative in how we get information to our community members and our Long Islanders. So there will definitely be more to come.
Well, then that's great. And people can go to Climate Jobs New York to find out about them. Just as a final thing, how many jobs do you think that kind of development, wind farm development in the New York Bight, would bring to Long Island?
Thousands of jobs is what this Wood Mackenzie study back in August of 2020 showed us. It's really an incredible opportunity that we have ahead of us. And, you know, specifically, that study estimated that the New York Bight alone would account for more than 32,000 construction jobs from 2025 to 2030, so over 5 years, and an estimated 5,800 operations and maintenance jobs from 2025 to 2055. So the O&M jobs, of what we call them, those are the really long-term jobs of the offshore wind turbine technicians, of showing that those jobs, and we fight to make sure that there are union jobs, are family sustaining and high wage jobs with commensurate benefits to be sure that Long Islanders can stay here. They can raise a family here. And all in the while, you know, they can work literally to help save our planet.
Well, Mariah Dignan, you are the organizer for Climate Jobs New York. I want to thank you so much for talking with us here on Sustainable East End.
Thank you so much, Francesca, for having me.
This is Sustainable East End. You've been listening to our conversation with Mariah Dignan, organizer for Climate Jobs New York. More information on Climate Jobs New York is online at climatejobsnewyork.org. This week, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management completed its environmental review of the proposed South Fork Wind Project offshore of New York and Rhode Island. The project, proposed for approximately 19 miles southeast of Block Island, Rhode Island, and 35 miles east of Montauk Point, will deliver approximately 135 megawatts of power to the South Fork of Long Island. The South Fork Wind Project would create up to 1,700 jobs. If approved, it would be the second commercial-scale offshore wind project in the United States. Sustainable East End is heard on the third Wednesday of each month at this time and also on the second Saturday of each month at 9 a.m. Programs are archived at www.sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. Sustainable East End is produced by Tony Ernst and yours truly, Francesca Rhiannon.